Welcome to the Banner of Truth. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Church, with locations in Monarch, Lacombe, and Calgary. And now, the Banner of Truth, with Pastor Jack Schumann.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. We read the verses 3 through 10. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamore tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, Go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I think not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. We will also read Article 24 of the Belgic Confession of Faith on the subject man's sanctification and good works. We believe that this true faith, being wrought in man by the hearing of the Word of God and the operation of the Holy Ghost, does regenerate and make him a new man, causing him to live a new life, and freeing him from the bondage of sin. Therefore, it is so far from being true that this justifying faith makes men remiss in a pious and holy life, that on the contrary, without it, they would never do anything out of love to God, but only out of self-love or fear of damnation. Therefore, it is impossible that this holy faith can be unfruitful in man. For we do not speak of a vain faith, but of such a faith as is called in Scripture a faith that worketh by love, which excites man to the practice of these works which God has commanded in His Word, which works, as they proceed from the good root of faith, are good and acceptable in the sight of God, forasmuch as they are all sanctified by His grace, howbeit they are of no account towards our justification. For it is by faith in Christ that we are justified, even before we do good works. Otherwise they could not be good works any more than the fruit of a tree can be good before the tree itself is good. Therefore we do good works, but not to merit by them, for what can we merit? Nay, we are beholden to God for the good works we do, and not He to us, since it is He that worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Let us therefore attend to what is written, When ye shall have done all those things which ye are commanded to do, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. In the meantime, we do not deny that God rewards our good works, but it is through His grace that He crowns His gifts. Moreover, though we do good works, we do not found our salvation upon them. For we can do no work but what is polluted by our flesh and also punishable. And although we could perform such works, still the remembrance of one sin is sufficient to make God reject them. Thus, then, we would always be in doubt, tossed to and fro, without any certainty, and our poor consciences would be continually vexed if they relied not on the merits of the suffering and death of our Savior. Dear friends, as we observed several weeks ago, Articles 22 through 24 of the Belgic Confession of Faith deal with the subject of faith. In Article 22, we saw that this faith is kindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. By means of this faith, the sinner embraces Christ and all His merits, appropriates Him, and seeks nothing more besides Him. Following this, in Article 23, we saw that our righteousness before God consists in the remission of our sins for Christ's sake, and that this remission becomes ours through faith. This led us to a consideration of the doctrine of justification. That is that aspect in the order of salvation in which the sinner is declared not guilty before the tribunal of God on the basis of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We saw that we are justified not on the basis of our faith, for then salvation would be based on something in us, but rather by faith, that is, through the instrumentality of faith. Now, in Article 24, our confession states that this faith is an active faith. It is a faith that manifests itself in good works. In raising the question of good works, our confession is taking us to the next step in the order of salvation. The order of salvation, you recall, refers to the logical order in which the Holy Spirit applies the benefits of Christ to the elect sinner. The first step is calling. The second is regeneration. The third is conversion. The fourth is justification. The fifth is sanctification. And the sixth is glorification. We can think of these steps as links on a chain where regeneration is the first link and glorification is the last. Having considered the doctrine of justification in Article 23, our confession naturally goes on to consider the doctrine of sanctification in Article 24. In other words, having been declared just before the tribunal of God, we are now made more and more holy. And that is what sanctification is. Sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit by which the believer is made more and more holy. And good works are a part of this. Now, for centuries, especially since the time of the Reformation, the subject of good works has engendered much controversy in the Christian church. Some of the questions surrounding this subject include the following. What role, if any, do good works play in our salvation? Do they merit anything? If so, how? And if not, why not? These are some of the questions we will consider in our sermon this morning. The theme for the sermon is good works, and we'll consider 3 points. First, their root. Secondly, their value. And thirdly, their reward. The first thing our confession observes is that good works are rooted in or proceed from faith. Again, we quote from our confession. We believe that this true faith, being wrought in man by the hearing of the Word of God and the operation of the Holy Spirit, does regenerate and make him a new man, causing him to live a new life and freeing him from the bondage of sin. The faith that is being referred to here is justifying or saving faith, referred to in Articles 22 and 23. As we saw earlier, in Article 23, we saw that by means of this faith we are justified. Now, in Article 24, the statement is made that by means of this same faith, we are sanctified. 2 things are said about this faith here. First, there is a statement made concerning the origin of this faith. Again, I quote from our confession. There we confess that this faith is wrought in man by the hearing of the Word of God and the operation of the Holy Ghost. Notice that this faith is said to be wrought in man. That implies that this faith is not something that man possesses by nature, nor is it something that man can produce in and of himself. It is wrought. It is worked in his heart by the hearing of the Word of God and the operation of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, a statement is made here concerning the results or the effects of this faith. This faith does regenerate, we confess, and make him a new man, causing him to live a new life and freeing him from the bondage of sin. At first glance, this seems rather strange. Normally, we think of faith as a product of regeneration, but here it is stated that faith produces regeneration. How do we explain this? Well, in order to explain this, we must understand that when our confession was written, regeneration was defined more broadly than it is today. Today, we define regeneration narrowly. To most people today, regeneration refers to the initial making alive of the dead sinner, enabling him to respond to the call of the gospel in faith and repentance. But in the 16th century, when our confession was written, regeneration was defined more broadly. Back then, our forefathers understood regeneration to include not only the initial making alive, but also the actual living by God's Holy Spirit. And so when our confession says that faith regenerates the sinner, it simply means that this faith is an active faith. It is a faith working by love. It is a faith that necessarily produces good works. In making this statement, our confession is answering a common Roman Catholic objection to the doctrine of justification by faith alone. According to the Roman Catholic Church, the doctrine of justification by faith alone will only make men careless and profane. It will lead them to believe that it does not matter how we live, since we are saved by grace apart from the works of the law. In answer to this objection, our confession says no. I quote, "Therefore, it is so far from being true that this justifying faith makes men remiss in a pious and holy life." Our fathers taught that where this justifying faith has been worked in the heart of a sinner, it will necessarily produce good works. Just as a good tree produces good fruit, so the person who possesses true faith in Christ will necessarily produce good fruit. Good works, therefore, are an absolutely essential aspect of our salvation. Without them, we cannot be saved, because they testify that we have true faith. Now, does that mean that they count for something towards our salvation? And the answer, of course, is no. And we look at that under our second point. We have seen that faith and good works go hand in hand. In that sense, we can say that good works are absolutely essential. And yet, as important as good works are, they do not count for anything towards our salvation. This our confession states several times in this article, and I quote, "Howbeit, they are of no account towards our justification." And I quote again, "Therefore we do good works, but not to merit by them." And finally, "Moreover, though we do good works, we do not found our salvation upon them." And so our confession is very clear. Good works, though important, do not count for anything towards our salvation. Now, in making this statement, our confession once again militates against a cardinal doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. According to the Roman Catholic Church, good works do count for something towards our salvation. Now, the Roman Catholic Church does not teach that we can earn our salvation by our works. If that were the case, then the work of Christ would be totally unnecessary, even superfluous. But what they do teach is that faith is not enough. Faith in Christ is necessary, they say, but so are our works. And therefore the formula is this: we are saved by faith plus works. Over and against this, our confession says our good works, though important, do not count for anything towards our salvation. And this is exactly what the Scriptures teach. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul writes, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Or we can think of Romans 3, verse 20, where Paul writes, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." Or a few verses later, verse 28, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without or apart from the deeds of the law." Or Titus 3, verse 5, where Paul says, "We are saved not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." And so the Scriptures are clear. Our works do not count for anything towards our salvation. And why is that? Our confession answers that question as follows. I quote, "Moreover, though we do good works, we do not found our salvation upon them. For we can do no work but what is polluted by our flesh, and also punishable. And although we could perform such works, still the remembrance of one sin is sufficient to make God reject them." The reason why our works do not count for anything towards our salvation is because God is a holy and a righteous God. As such, God demands perfect obedience. Anything less than perfection is unacceptable. The problem is, we are not capable of rendering such obedience. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, Isaiah says, "We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Psalm 14, verse 3, the psalmist says, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And therefore the conclusion is obvious. Our good works do not count, and cannot count, for anything towards our salvation. Well, if that is the case, then why do them? The Heidelberg Catechism provides a good answer to this question. In Lord's Day 32, question and answer 86, the question is asked, "Since then we are delivered from our misery merely of grace through Christ, without any merit of ours, why must we still do good works?" And the answer is this: because Christ, having redeemed and delivered us by his blood, also renews us by his Holy Spirit, after his own image, that so we may testify by the whole of our conduct our gratitude to God for his blessings, and that he may be praised by us. Also, that every one may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof, and that by our godly conversation others may be gained to Christ. Our catechism here provides four reasons why good works are necessary. First, good works are an expression of our gratitude to God. God has done so much for us. He has provided us with everything we need for our bodies, food and drink and shelter and clothing. He has also provided us everything we need for our souls. The Word of God, which reveals to us our need and how to be saved. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He has sent to redeem us. His Holy Spirit, who sanctifies us and assures us and intercedes for us. He's also given us the sacraments of the church. The Lord has done more than we could possibly thank Him for. Doing good works, therefore, is one way that we can express our gratitude to God for all that He has done for us. A second reason why we do good works is to glorify God. That is the reason why we were created. We were created for one purpose only, and that is to glorify God. Doing good works is one way that we can do this. Thirdly, we do good works to assure us of our salvation. Our good works assure us that we have really been saved. Jesus says, "By their fruits ye shall know them." That means, if there are fruits in our lives, no matter how few or how imperfect they may be, that is an indicator that we have been saved, that we are truly a son, a daughter of the living God. Fourthly, we do good works so that through our conduct others may be gained to Christ. One of the ways in which sinners are won for Christ is by us living godly, consistent lives. When unbelievers see Christ in us, they are attracted to Him and want to be like Him. And in this way, believers function as magnets, drawing sinners to the Lord. We see then that although good works do not count for anything, we must still do them. Anyone who does not do good works is not a true Christian. And therefore the question comes to us this morning, my friend, what about you? Are you doing such good works? That is a difficult question to answer for some, also for God's people. For when we examine ourselves in the light of the Word of God, is it not true that we are often not satisfied by what we see? Oh yes, we want to live for God and for His glory, but so often we see so little evidence of it. So often we live for ourselves and our own pleasure. And then we see so much sin in our lives, and we may wonder at times, is it really true for me? Am I really a child of the Lord? And we can begin to doubt our salvation and think that we are deceiving ourselves. But child of God, we must remember two things in this regard. First, that the life of sanctification is a process. We do not become sanctified all at once. The life of sanctification is a continuous struggle. It is like a road that is filled with twists and turns and ups and downs. Sometimes we may feel like we are not making any progress at all. But when we have such times, we should not right away conclude that we are not one of God's children. Rather, we should pray even more fervently for more grace, that the Lord would help us to put sin to death and to live the Christian life to His glory. Secondly, we must remember that our sanctification is complete in Christ. This is what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Speaking of believers, Paul writes, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Do you see what Paul is saying here? He's saying that our whole salvation, including our sanctification, is complete in Christ. What we fail to do, He has done in perfection. What joy and liberty that gives. That means, my friends, we do not have to earn anything. Whatever we need has been earned by Christ and is bestowed upon us out of mere grace only for His sake. Now, that does not mean, of course, that we can sit back and relax, saying, well, Christ has done it all anyway. Nor does it mean we can be careless. We must strive with all of our might to put sin to death in our lives and live to the glory of God. But when we fail, as we will, we can rest in the assurance that my acceptance with God is not based on anything I do or fail to do, but only on what Christ has done for me. Our works, therefore, do not merit anything for our salvation. And yet the Lord rewards them. How can that be? We turn to that under our third and final point. Although our good works do not count for anything towards our salvation, God still rewards them. Our confession acknowledges this too when it says, "In the meantime, we do not deny that God rewards our good works," unquote. Now this is clearly scriptural. The scriptures do speak of God rewarding His people for their works. For example, Psalm 19, verse 11. Speaking of the commandments of God, the psalmist writes this, "Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is a great reward. Or we think of Hebrews 11, verse 26, where we read that Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And in Revelation 22, verse 12, the Lord Jesus himself says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Now someone says, how can this be? Is it not true that even our best works are as filthy rags before the Lord? How then can God reward them? Again, our Heidelberg Catechism provides a very good answer to this question. In Lord's Day 24, question and answer 63, the question is this: what? Do not our good works merit which yet God will reward in this and in a future life? And the answer is, this reward is not of merit, but of grace. Yes, God rewards our good works, but this reward is not something that we have earned. It is something that God graciously bestows. This is clearly what is taught in the parable of the unprofitable servant, which we read earlier from Luke 17, especially verses 7 through 10. Jesus had just finished teaching the disciples about forgiveness. He taught them that there should be no limit to the amount of times they forgive their brother. But lest they think that they will somehow merit anything by this, Jesus tells them the parable. Jesus' point in this parable is clear. His point is, we should not expect, nor do we deserve, a reward for doing our duty. Forgiving our brother 70 times 7 is not something that merits a reward. That is our duty. That is what God expects of us. And so it was with this servant. He had put in a good day's work, but that does not mean that his master was obligated to give him a reward. In fact, as tired as he was, the master told him to go and make him his supper. That was his duty, and no one gets a reward for merely doing his duty. Now, this is hard for some of us to swallow, perhaps. Deep down inside, we think that we render God pretty good service, and that therefore we deserve such a reward. But the Scriptures teach quite the opposite, my friends. The Scriptures teach that any reward we receive is not a reward of merit, but it is a reward of grace. And there are two reasons for this. First, because all of our good works are defiled with sin. As such, they do not merit anything. And secondly, any good work that we do is not something that we do in and of ourselves. It is something that God does in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, if we deserve any reward at all, it rightly belongs to the Lord. But, and this is the amazing thing, the reward which Christ earned for those works is paid to us, to sinners who deserve nothing but God's wrath and condemnation. And that is why our catechism says that this reward is not of merit, for the merit is all Christ's, but rather it is of grace. It is of grace because we do not deserve any of it. And yet God, in his infinite mercy, is pleased to bestow it upon us. My friends, is that not a great wonder? If God had acted only according to his justice and according to what we deserve, we would receive nothing. There would be no rewards. There would be no salvation. There would be no blessings. There would be only everlasting condemnation in hell. But instead, he bestows on us one reward after another, and that for things that we can take no credit for at all. Oh, what a marvelous display of the grace and love of God for his people. Well, my friends, this brings us to an end of our consideration of the subject of good works. Let me ask you as I close, is there evidence of these good works in your own life? As we said before, the person who has been taught to see himself for who he is before the Lord will immediately answer that question in the negative. The true child of the Lord will never say that he does good works, certainly not enough of them. But my friends, I did not ask whether you do a lot of good works or whether you do perfect good works. I only ask whether there is some evidence of good works in your life. Is there a godly sorrow for sin? Is there a desire to and a conscious effort to put sin to death in your life? Is there a longing to become more and more holy, to do away with sin, to do away with that which displeases God and to walk in accordance with his commandments? Oh, if that is so, then that is an evidence that you are a true child of the Lord. And now we must pray that the Lord would give us grace to bear even more fruit to his glory. Child of God, let that be your prayer and your resolve as you continue in the journey of faith. We will never reach perfection in this life. That will have to wait until the life to come. but we must strive for it as though we could. And in that way, God shall be glorified, and we shall be assured of our salvation in Him until the day that He comes again. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful, Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are welcome to join us for our services in Monarch, Calgary, and Lacombe. It's always an encouragement to us when we hear from our listeners. If you've been blessed by the message you have heard this morning, or if you would like a free CD of the message, or a free copy of the Belgic Confession of Faith, please write to the Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. Or you can call me at area code 403-553-3400. These messages are also being posted on the Internet. Enter www.sermonaudio.com in your search engine and search on the Banner of Truth. If you are in the Calgary area, our church is located right across from the Blackfoot Inn on the corner of Blackfoot Trail and Glenmore Trail. For directions to the church, please call the church office at area code 403-254-6591. If you would like more information about our churches, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.
Thank you for listening to the Banner of Truth. For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches, visit our website at frcna.org. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 2:30. In Lacombe at 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and in Monarch at 10 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Pastor Jack Schumann can be reached at 403-553-3400. Join us again next week at the same time for the Banner of Truth.